So I want you to run those through in the back of your head through this lesson, still obviously listening to my points. But I think that'll give us great application as we come to the close today. So as we think about times, it's inevitable that we talk about timelines. We, especially in America, run on timelines. We all work on these timelines. And that's important, once again, in America, but also here on Earth. We have set times for our services this morning. Most of you have to be at work or at school at a set time. Most of us have future plans, maybe on what car we want to buy, or what house we want to buy, or even retirement. Time in our lives is inescapable, and time always marches on. And as it keeps marching, it doesn't march backwards. We don't get that time back. So this morning I want to focus on how do we use our time. I'll be going through, these are a couple examples we'll be focusing more in depth on. Certainly not all encompassing, but as you keep your hobby in your mind, as I'm talking about some things that are common for me or for a lot of the rest of us to spend our time with, and how that affects our spiritual life. So our time is valuable. Watching TV or hanging out with friends or playing video games or doom scrolling on your favorite social media, playing board games, cooking, or once again, your hobby of choice, these all take time. There's a time and a place for everything, but I want us to focus on how much time we spend on our hobbies. Start off with one of my hobbies, and that's football. I like to watch football, as probably many of you do. We're in the football season now. But think about how much time we spend thinking about football, or if you're like the European version, soccer, your favorite sport. You can play football. There's fantasy football. There's pick'em leagues. There's high school and college. And then we even have a full day of football and then three nights of football. Most of you are all aware of the Super Bowl even. There's a dedicated day that most of the country watches one game of football. And this doesn't even mention all the talk shows that you can watch daily, even in the off season, all the podcasts, or just all the time that we can spend wrapping ourselves around in a sport. Thinking about a game. I will be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Are we being wise and making the best use of our time? How many hours of football or your favorite sport are we spending watching or playing versus time spent with serving our God and becoming closer to our God? Next would be television, TV. How many hours is our TV set on? If you think about the average, I think this is a little bit low, but it's saying the average that a television is on in the U.S. is between 3 to 5 hours a day. That might be hours watched versus how many hours it's on for background or something like that. But this really adds up, especially when you think about it over a week, over months, or even over years. Another thing to think about is with all of that content going on the screen, what is it actually playing? Are those thoughts, are those visions wholesome, and are they profitable? What are our thoughts being filled with? Are they being filled with the news? Are they being filled with gossip or entertainment? Or are we filling our minds with spiritual things? Next, we'll read from Psalms chapter 101. Verses 2 through 4. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. We'll also read from Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We need to be careful what we are filling our minds with. Another example is friends. A lot of us spend a lot of time with friends. We do have friends who can be good influences, and then we also have friends who can be poor influences. This is important, as we can spend a lot of time around these people. Are they godly influences, or are they worldly influences? There are examples of good and poor examples in the Bible. And I think it's important to think bluntly at times if our influences, if our friends are helping us become closer to God, helping us go to heaven, or are they pulling us further from our Lord? We can do great things with our friends. We'll reread the scripture reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. And that again says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. And how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We can see great examples of having good friends. Alternatively, though, we can see the risk of having bad company around us. We know that bad company corrupts good morals. We'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. A personal example that we can see in the Bible would be Solomon. And he's an example. His wives were his companions. His wives were his friends. They were strong influences in his life. We see with Solomon, he asked God for wisdom, and he was blessed with wisdom. He was blessed with riches, with many things. And we even know that God appeared to him twice. And yet, because of his influences, he turned his heart towards idols. We'll read from 1 Kings chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart from after their God. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives and made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. So I want to be clear that we can also be good influences to our friends. And I think that's very clear throughout the throughout Scripture. We'll read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our example should allow others to see our good works and then for them to give glory to God. But we also need to be careful that we don't let those influences turn our hearts instead of us turning their hearts. We'll read from Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. We need to be vigilant to not turn away from our God. So I think it's important that we reflect on the time that we spend with friends, and then focus on if that's spiritually productive time, or if it's once again a distraction pulling us away from our Lord. Next, we're going to be talking about technology. I chose the picture I did because technology is kind of a wormhole. I encourage you all to be very careful with the time we spend on technology. Technology has made our lives easier in some ways. It's made it harder in some ways. And there are good uses of technology. For example, this PowerPoint is because of technology. The way this building was built, the lights, Zoom, everything we have, technology can be used for good things. But it is a powerful tool that can be used for both good and evil. How much time do people spend using technology? So this is using technology, AI, which isn't my favorite tool, but it cites that the average time that someone would play video games in the U.S. would be between 6 and 10 hours a week. So if you think that over a year, that would be between 312 and 520 hours a year. And then obviously there's multiple years over the span of our life. That's video games, though. What about social media? This one's even scarier to me. So once again, using AI, they said that the average is 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. This would be over 875 hours in a year. This was honestly very surprising to me. And I think that is something we should consider and we should not take lightly. This is a large number. This is showing how the average person in the world or the U.S., what they're filling their minds with. Are we using our time appropriately, or are we seeking worldly distractions, which are possibly pulling us away from giving attention to our Lord? As we think about those numbers, 2 hours and 24 minutes a day, the average time in the U.S. spent in prayer is 18 minutes a day. Then also, if you think about daily Bible reading, it says the average, only 11% of Americans participate in daily Bible reading. So that means 89% have zero time spent in the Bible consistently, and yet 2 hours and 24 minutes spent on social media. It's important to think of what we are filling our minds and our spirits with. Let's read from 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of flesh, of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, and whoever does the will of God, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We need to believe that this world is passing away. We need to make sure that we are not consumed by its desires. So those were examples of things that I see in general life that can be distracting. Once again, I hope that you thought about examples in your own lives of your hobbies and you think critically about how much time you spend with those. I encourage you to do that even after we leave this morning. But I do want to focus on some important uses that we can use for time. We'll read from James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. That says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Every good gift is from God. We have blessings here. We can spend time with our hobbies, but we need to be careful how much time is used. We're also going to read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We need to be careful that we do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Time and the things that we fill our time with here under the sun, once again, are gifts from God. We need to make sure that whatever acts and deeds we fill our time with are done in the name of our Lord. What are things that we should fill our time with? The first example I have up there is prayer. This is certainly something that we should fill our time with. We'll read from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Then we'll also be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 5, starting in verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This last passage especially has a lot of certain usages for our time, including prayer, abstaining from evil, testing everything, rejoicing, doing good for one another, helping the weak, and more. We need to use our time to make sure we are following God by studying His Scripture. On Judgment Day, it won't matter how many degrees you have from an institution, or how much knowledge you have in your specific career field, or how much money you've accumulated, or how many friends you have, or how popular you are, or how cool you are, or how many championships you've witnessed your favorite team win. It matters how we have served our Lord and God, who died for us while we were ungodly. We'll read from Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We can't serve our God if we don't have a relationship with him through consistent prayer, or if we ignore his word that has been meticulously prepared and maintained throughout the millennia so that we can accurately know the words from our God and Creator. We can't serve our God by ignoring our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to care for them and help them. We need to be there physically and spiritually for our family. Lastly, we cannot serve our God by isolating ourselves and choosing to not proclaim the good news. We'll read Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." All of these acts that I've mentioned are intentional. But let me assure you that we certainly do have times in our busy lives for these things. It's time to consider, what are you willing to cut out of your life and out of your current routine so that you can better serve your Lord and God? As we think about our time here on earth, we know that our bodies only last so long. Currently, the life expectancy in the U.S. is 78.39 years, otherwise known as 940.68 months, 4,076.28 weeks, 28,631.95 days, 687 1,166.74 hours, 41,230,004.4 minutes, and 2,473,800,264 seconds. Looking this up and putting these up here, I intentionally left the decimal places. Because looking at that, that helped me realize and emphasize that we don't get to choose how long we live here, and we're not guaranteed how long we live here. We don't get even numbers. We don't get exactly 78 years, or exactly 79 years, or exactly 940 months. God knows when our final and last day is here. He knows the earth's last day, and he also knows our individual last days. And though we don't know when our last day is, we do all know that we will have a last day. We may live to the perfect average life expectancy. We may live well past that, but we also may fall short of that time. We don't get a choice. We're not guaranteed tomorrow or even the rest of today. Someday, if the Lord allows the earth to continue, we might be like these gravestones. The earth might be ended before then, but we might rest in a cemetery. There, our life will be no more, and by then, we are out of time. When we are dead, we cannot turn to God from the grave. We cannot choose to follow him fully after we die. We cannot choose to become better fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters or children or grandparents or neighbors or, more importantly, followers of Christ after our death. Because we know that after our time has expired, we and everyone will know that God is King. We know that God is Lord, and we know that God is judge, our judge. We'll read from Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Everyone will bow, and everyone will confess to God. Is that enough, though, for us? We see that it is important that we use our time here on earth wisely. It certainly is. We know that everyone will bow and everyone shall confess, but we will have to give account. We'll also read from James chapter 2, starting in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? It's clear that even the demons believe. Belief itself is not enough. It's clear we will be judged, and not all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. Let us make sure that we use our time for God's kingdom and his glory. We do need faith, but we cannot show our faith without works. Works obviously take time, and that is a way that we can use our time. We need to be confident that we will not hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Let's read from Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will be recognized by their fruits. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So as we start wrapping up towards our conclusion, we know that there is a path, but we know that that path is straight and narrow. We'll read from Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Just going up a little bit. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. For those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We need to follow Jesus' commands, not only the ones that we choose, but we need to follow all of them. I'll read from John chapter 14, verse 14. I wrote down the wrong scripture there. We'll go ahead and move along. We need to not just check boxes. We need to follow God with our hearts. We need to be cut to the heart. Let's read from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Then we'll also read from Psalm chapter 51, starting in verse 16. "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not please with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." We need to make sure that we have broken and contrite hearts. We need to repent and turn away from our life of sin and turn towards our Lord and Judge while we still have time. We need to be baptized. We need to follow our Lord's commandments. We'll read from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. I will actually start in 36. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has been made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. By giving our hearts to the Lord, we will change our habits. We will choose how to spend our time, and we will choose how to serve him instead of just seeking to serve and please ourselves. If you need to make a change, I recommend that you don't hesitate. It's important to remember that our time here is not guaranteed, that we need to repent before it is too late. If you do need to make that change, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.